when the sun was shining bright. I've been in the valley when the clouds were black as night.
I've been betrayed by Jesus, by a friend who wasn't true. But in the good times or the bad times, Lord, I've learned to lean on you.
Battle raging, then I prayed till victory came. There have been times I really thought, Lord, you don't even know my name.
But I've been blessed, and I've been down to where I didn't know what to do. But in the times of joy and sorrow, Lord, I've learned to lean.
Praise the Lord. This morning we have someone that we can lean on. Amen. And I hope you're leaning on Jesus. And he is the eternal one who is never faint and never weary. So we praise the Lord for him this morning. That's why we're here, to celebrate Jesus and to worship him and to hear from him in song and in the scriptures. So I want to invite everybody. I want to welcome everybody. I want to invite you to church this morning. Oh, that's right. You're already here. I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church. So good to see you. Hope everybody had a good week this past week. And I don't know about you or not, but the lighting looks a little different up here. And it's actually pure white. It's this modern lighting. It's clear. And then Brother Larry said the chandelier lights are coming next. And so, just trying to make some improvements as we forge ahead here at the church, but I like them. And again, it's good to be here this morning. I do want to mention some things before we pray, and then a couple of reminders. First of all, I want to say thanks to Brother Allen and Sister Terry for the pies, for all the guys, and I rewarded myself with one of those pies, and I chose a specific time for my pie, and it followed the Braves game when we won, but anyway, I believe we won on Father's Day, but we appreciate that. Thank you, Sister Terry, and Brother Allen, for that. Good to have you back, brother. Hope you enjoyed your time away. Miss Nancy Farmer is here this morning. She had cataract eye surgery, and I guess that's going well. I'm not going to ask you how many fingers I'm holding up, but
which is a good thing because I wouldn't be able to.
But it went good, amen. All right. Well, hey, we're thankful for that. You made it through it, and any improvement's better. No improvement at all. So good to see you this morning. Of course, Brother Harold had a series of doctor visits, x-rays, and won't know nothing till August. So let's remember Brother Harold, and I'm just glad you're able to make it, brother, each and every Sunday. And let's remember Miss Dolores Palmer in our prayers. She is getting ready to face a big surgery. Any surgery is big, but a big surgery, a different kind of surgery. She's going to have a hernia surgery, and but they've got to leave it open while she recovers in the hospital. And I've never heard of that before, but the doctors know what they're doing. And I guess sometimes you just got to let it heal from the inside out. But she's having great difficulty with this. Brother Leonard is doing his best to be support for her. He has his own issues he's dealing with, so let's remember them. And so good to see that Bobby McClendon is back with us. I know he's been going through a lot with his energy level and his ulcer. They got repaired. So good to see you, brother, Miss Nancy. Praying for you guys. Miss Dawn Capistrano will be having surgery soon at some point. So let's remember her in our prayers. Miss Connie Norton, as she's at home recovering, trying to get better with her heart condition. I seen her tune in on Facebook. So hello, Miss Connie. We're praying for you. Miss seeing you here at church. Hope you get back sooner than later. And then Miss Claudia Darby, who has a heart monitor this morning. And let's pray for her and her heart and the other difficulties she's experiencing. And so let's remember her in our prayers. Tonight, 5 o'clock, Brother Kevin Brook will be bringing the word for us and downstairs in our fellowship hall. And so we're looking forward to that. I wanted to get them in before the summer was over, and sometimes things don't happen if you're not intentional and do it when you think about it. So we're looking forward to that, praying for you. Every Sunday night, or every last Sunday night of every month, is our dinner night at Calvary downstairs. But we're moving that to next Sunday night, and that's going to be our 4th of July celebration and brief devotion, but it's going to be a good time. So tonight, it's just refreshments. Next Sunday night, in light of the 4th of July, it's going to be our dinner then. So remember that. All right. Also, ladies' prayer brunch coming up just around the corner, July 13th at 11 a.m. Miss Marianne Sanvey will be hosting for that. And so remember that. All right. You glad you're here? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's worship the Lord this morning. We've come together for a reason, and I know He has something to tell us. And so let's pray that He'll reveal it to us. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You. We praise You, God. We've got a lot going on, which is a good thing. But Lord, I pray that we would not be so busy doing things that, Lord, that we remove ourselves from Your side, abiding in Your presence, Lord. That's what we need. We need to stay in step with You. And so today we do that, Lord. We slow things down. Holy Spirit, I ask that You'll help us slow things down. Even the tempo of the service, Lord, we want to allow things to be firmed up before we speak them, things to be firmed up before we sing them. And Father, I pray that You'll speak to every heart that's here this morning. I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know You personally as their Lord and Savior, that they will be saved today, that they would give their life to You. Father, it's my prayer, and for those that are saved, I pray that they would be comforted, encouraged, and of course challenged, and let us all be different by the time we leave today than when we first came in. We love You. You're a good, good Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Church, if you'll stand, choir, if you'll stand with me. In a few moments, we're going to sing the chorus that says there's something about the name of Jesus. But I'm just excited to be in the house this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, y'all can do better now. I just know you can. I'm excited to be in His house. Amen?
Amen.
Much better. Man, that's awesome. I'm also excited this morning that not only do I have a choir member back, Miss Mary's back in the choir, but there's Mary Ann new to the choir this morning. Would you give Jesus a hand clap of praise? He's worthy. We're excited about that. And so we're starting to see the choir some growth and some regrowth, and we're excited. Choir practice today at 4 o'clock. If you've been praying about becoming a member of the choir, you see me this morning, and we would surely invite you in this afternoon at 4
for choir practice. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you for a day off last Sunday, just some much-needed rest. Took a little mini vacation, had a great time. Lord brought us back safely, and it's just a wonderful day to be in the house of God today. Are you here to worship Him this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
It's the reason we've come this way. Can we sing that chorus that says, "There's something about the name of Jesus"? Yes, there's something about that name. Amen. Thank you, church choir. You can be seated as well. Again, it is good to see you here today. Choir practice at 4, and we're looking forward to hearing from Brother Kevin this evening at 5 o'clock downstairs. And it's just been a great week. The Lord's been good to us. Sent us some much-needed rain. Amen, CJ. And CJ's like, yeah, but I got to try and get all that grass cut through all this rain, too. But God's been good. And God is a faithful God. Amen. There's never been a time when He hasn't been faithful to us, and I'm so thankful for that. Please remember all the prayer requests that have been spoken this morning. I'm sure that there are many, many more. But let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Just ask Him to give us a great day. Pray for Pastor this morning. And I just pray that the Lord would touch our hearts. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray this morning?
Thank you.
Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, "Where is your faith? Because you prayed all night, but you held on with all your might. Now your cries have awoken the Master. He knows your hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun, but seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now, because you prayed all night, cause you held on with all your might. Time your cries have awoken the Master. He knows your voice. Fast asleep, the winds are so deadly, the water's so deep, but try to be patient, cause he'll soon bring peace. Just one word from his voice, hit on the sea, because you prayed all night, cause you held on with all your might. Time your cries have awoken the Master. He knows your voice
Aren't you grateful this morning that you can cry unto the Lord and He'll hear you? He'll hear you if you cry unto Him. Appreciate the Lord and His ear always being open to His children. All right. Take your Bibles this morning. Make your way to Psalm 118, please. Book of Psalms, Psalm 118. I want to look at one verse today, this morning. We've spent 3 or 4 weeks now on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings talking about our walk with God. We looked at some things concerning taking control of your spiritual life. And we looked at, used a couple services talking about that subject. And then we took a couple Sundays looking at the subject of what kind of church would my church be? And dove into a lot of things, a lot of fundamental things. But we're going to keep it simple this morning. And I pray and I hope that the Lord will use His Word in the simplicity of His Word. Let's bow for a word of prayer. And then I'm going to read verse number 24. Out of Psalm 118. Father, we love You. We thank You today for all things, Lord. The good, the bad, the ugly. It's hard to thank You for the ugly things that come into our lives uninvited, but if we belong to You, we know that there is a purpose. There's a purpose. And that we're not suffering without purpose. And so, Father, I pray in the next few moments, Lord, that You would use Your Word. God, I pray for a clear head and a calm heart, Lord. There's something that I know You want Your people to grasp. And the message content has been shared so many times. But, Father, I pray that we'll get a fresh look and a fresh touch today from the truth of Your Word, looking into this verse. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, very simple approach this morning, yet a very needful message, I believe. Psalm 118, verse number 24. The Bible says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Just that verse this morning, that one simple verse. And I want to preach on this subject, truths about today. Truths about today. Five truths about the subject of today I want to share with you. And these are five words in particular I want to give. And I hope that the message will be a help and a blessing to you as it is a blessing as we share it. But five words when it comes to this subject of today. Five words, five truths. Truths about today. Number one, we see the word power in this verse. We know that God created today by His power. The scripture says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made." The Lord Jesus, Lord God Almighty, has created this day. today, June 25th, 2023. This day has been created by the hands of God. Isn't that an awesome thought to think that God created today? It actually brings hope and encouragement to the fact that God, in all of His oversight, patty caked a day together, called it Sunday, June the 25th, 2023. That's amazing to me. It brings me hope that God thought enough to create this day. And if He did, and He did, that means there is possibility in this day. There is hope for you in this day that He created. God created everything. We have the 6 days of creation. We won't get into all of that this morning. But we do know that in 6 days He created everything, including man. And on the seventh day, He rested. Not that He was exhausted, not that He was tired, but I firmly believe that He took a good look over His creation and said, it's very good. And so He handmade today. He allowed us to wake up and take nourishment, and for some of us, even go on a walk before church this morning. He allowed us to see the sunrise this morning. What a blessing it is to be vertical and not horizontal. Of course, if we were horizontal and if we're saved, we're with Him, so what difference does it make? But we're able to get up, and we're able to go, we're able to be with our families, we're able to worship the Lord. Today was created by the power of Almighty God. Turn, if you would, hold your place here and turn to the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter number 1 for a moment. By the way, please forgive us of not having a screen today. We're having technical difficulties, but we've got the best man in town on it, I guarantee you. Colossians chapter number 1, notice verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. So that verse alone tells us anything that was made by Him. He's the creator of all things. He made today. Verse 17 says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He made today. And today will carry on, and the sun will eventually set, and it will happen because He's allowing it to. He is consistently being consistent with all things. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Let me ask a question. What happens if we take Him out of the equation? Nothing would consist anymore. What happens, and I mean even in a very personal way, what happens if we say that we are not going to acknowledge Jesus in our life? What if we take Jesus, figuratively speaking, of course, if we say we cannot take Him out of our life, but what if we say we're not involving Jesus in the equation? How do you think things would go at home? How do you think things would go at work? If all things consist by Him and you take Him out of it, all things would fall apart. We're living in a world today where this world is full of lost people and they are trying to take Jesus out of the equation. They've taken Jesus out of the schools. They've taken Jesus out of the White House. They've taken Jesus out of politics. They've taken Jesus out of this. They've taken Jesus out of that. And I think we're seeing the repercussions of taking Jesus out of things. Why is it they give people Bibles when they go to jail? Why don't they give them Bibles so they won't go to jail? We have a reverse corrupt world. And the truth of the matter is this morning is that God in His power created this day, and it would do all of us well to continue to acknowledge Him during the course of our day. I don't know about you or not, but I need Him to make things work for me today. I need for Him to make things work for my family today. I just need the Lord's touch in my life. Do not want to subtract Him, definitely want to add Him. And so this morning we see in our text verse the word power. When it comes to truths about today, we see power. And that is God created today by His power. There's a second truth I want you to see. Not only the word power, but the word present. The word present. He says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We call today the present." Now, I like the truth behind a present day. And that is, the truth behind the present is that it's a gift. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. It's yesterday, it's tomorrow, and it's today. And today is called the present because it's a gift. There's 60 seconds in a minute. There's 60 minutes in an hour. There's 24 hours in a day. There's 365 days a year. That equals, and that's the same as, 365 gifts. You say, "Jesus hasn't given me anything in a while." Oh, yes, He has. If you woke up this morning, you have air in your lungs, He has given you a gift of another day. We have 365 gifts from Jesus each and every day. The question is, what are we doing with our days? We have 365 opportunities to do something with the gifts that God gives us, one per day. Because each day is a gift, that tells me that God has a purpose for me in each and every day. Because God allowed you to wake up and draw breath in your lungs and by His power created another day, He has a purpose for you in that day. The question is, what is your purpose today? What is your purpose? What will you do with the gift of life that God has allowed you to experience today? And so there's the present, the second truth about today, and that is that it's a gift. The third truth this morning I want to share is not only a power, a present, but you know there's a problem. You know there's a problem. We often experience problems during a day's time. And there's certainly, with each and every day that we live, there is the possibility of problems that can happen. Job chapter number 14, don't turn there, I'll just give it to you. Verse number 1, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." According to Job, life is short. Life is short. In fact, he says it's just a few days. And as I sit back and calculate these days, Job thinking, it's just been one trouble after another. And so there's the possibility for trouble during the course of our day. So, what could be some of the troubles that we face on any given day? I kind of condensed them down to two things. Number one, some of our troubles could be dealing with the past. Dealing with past regrets of days gone by. Things that we didn't do that we should have done. Or things that we did do that we shouldn't have done. So it's hard sometimes to be present in the present when there's days that are gone by that we are regretful from. And regretful of. And so I think some of the problems that we face today have to do with our past and past regrets, but also have to do with our future and its uncertainty. The past and past regrets, our future, and the uncertainty thereof. And so therefore, we have problems today. What are we to do today? You say, Brother Justin, I want to be present in the present. I want to be here mentally as I am physically. I want to be a help to others. I want to be the best family member I can be. I want to be a blessing. I want to forge ahead. I want to be achieving things in life. But I can't stop thinking about the past, and I can't stop worrying about the future. That's the problem. We only have a few days together, and a lot of us spending our time living a life of regret or living a life of worry. So what do we do? Glad you asked. Philippians chapter number, you can turn there. Follow me along if you would. Philippians, I believe it's chapter number 3. Philippians 3, verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul telling us what he does. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't fully apprehended the teetotal cause as to why God has me here. I'm still chasing Jesus. And I haven't fully arrived at doing that yet. I haven't done everything he wants me to do. But there is one thing I have learned to do. He says, the one thing I've learned to do, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forget the past. Whatever it is that may be tying you up this morning, you've got to forget the past. Paul says, I forget the past. Paul was a well-educated man, and listen, he had many things that he could have still pressed toward, even as a believer, but he counted those things as dung. He counted them for loss that he may win Christ. There are some things this morning that I think would do all of us well, starting with this guy right here that is grabbing a shovel and burying some things. It's hard to move forward when you're looking behind you. It's hard to drive a car looking in the rear view. I wonder this morning if there's anybody else here that needs to grab a spiritual shovel and start digging a hole and burying some things. That is the only way that you're going to be a present parent, a present spouse, a present person in the present and catch everything Jesus wants you to have, and that is you forget the past. Last time I checked, when it comes to past failures, when it comes to things in the past we're regretful of, if we're a child of God, the last time I checked, those things are in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. I know everybody's heard, well, I'm sure most of everybody's heard about the submarine Titan. That submarine Titan went down, had some men on board, had a billionaire on board, and there was a son that was on board that didn't even want to go. And from what I gather, it was at least 2 miles down, to get to the Titanic wreckage ruins. I mean, just to think you could even explore the Titanic is amazing. I mean, you got to go down, and I think they said it took 2 hours. It took 2 hours to get down to the Titanic crash site, or the Titanic sinking site. 2 hours, at least. And they were going down, and they were passing the underwater mountains and ridges and bars, they call them. I'm sure they saw fish that nobody have ever seen before in their life. Fish that are so far down, they're used to that complete darkness. You bring them to the surface, they'll die. I was watching a fishing show the other day, and they were bringing up these redfish from, I mean, low, way down in the sea. And the strangest thing, when they pulled them up, brought them on the boat, their stomachs was out of their mouth, and their eyeballs were popping out. It's because their GI tract, their gastral, their stomach, and all of that on the insides was used to being so low down there that it went so fast up there, up here, that everything came out. But then it came back in. But that submarine, that Titan, man, they're giving reports where, like, really almost immediately they lost signal. And it imploded somewhere, at some point of that process, it imploded. I mean, these rescue teams and Coast Guard, military, and helicopters from other countries, they were looking for days after that. But they said in all likelihood they probably died not long after they went in the water. Something happened on the way down. And this is in no disrespect to what happened to them at all. This is no disrespect to the families, because I could not imagine losing a family member like that in an implosion in a submarine in the depths of the sea. No disrespect at all. But on a spiritual sense this morning, when it comes to faults, when it comes to failures, when it comes to things that Justin Hales is not proud of, I'll tell you what I have to do. I have to visualize Jesus sending all of my sins down to the bottom of the ocean floor. I visualize all my faults, all my failures, everything from the past that I did not succeed at, everything that I'm regretful for. All of those things are at the bottom of the sea this morning, never to be remembered anymore. Cannot come up to the surface because they're down, down, down on the bottom of the ocean floor. This morning we see that there's a problem. We have to forget, but then we have to forge. We have to forge. He says in our verse, Philippians 3:13, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching. That word reaching is through the idea of stretching. You ever stretch so hard and push yourself, trying to grab something, you almost put your shoulder out of socket? Oh my goodness, that happened the other day. I was reaching for something, I was like, all right, this is it. If I go any further, I'm going to give one little nudge in my heel, and it about popped out. But you know, stretching is a very good thing. Let me tell you what I'm learning about walking. That first walk of the day, I'm learning that I need to spend a moment to stretch. Or, when I do walk, almost shuffle walk. Because I've learned, I almost threw my back out the other day. Woke up in the morning, boom, hit my time clock on my phone. Oh! Started to walk in a cold start, and it about cost me my back. I like to record on my phone how long it takes me to make a lap around our neighborhood. Our neighborhood is one complete circle, one way in, one way out. and there's an inner sidewalk. It's exactly 1 mile long. And at a normal walking speed, 20 minutes, I get it done. But I'm proud to say that I beat my record time. I made one lap around our circle, 1 mile, Brother Harold, 17 minutes. 17 minutes. I snapshotted, screenshotted that, sent to my wife. She sent me hand claps. And I was happy. I was so happy that after lunch, I went on another walk. And I got the same exact time on that second walk. Woke up the next morning. I couldn't wait to walk. Would you believe this morning, about 6:30, I got up and walked. It's amazing at what can happen when you push yourself. When you really, really get to that point, it's do or die. It's a vicious cycle if I don't change. And so when you get to that point of making a decision and locking her in, watch out, world, because change is coming. And my word today under this word problem that these things can have, problems can happen every day. We need to forget the past, but we need to stretch, forge. Things are not just going to turn out well. You have to position yourself. You have to make good choices, even if it's just a little nudge each and every day. The end result will be well-pleasing, I promise you. So, it's time to take up that shovel this morning. It's time to bury some things. And then, get that dirt, put it back on. I'm moving on. I'm stretching. I'm giving my best. I'm pressing. I'm forging. That is the goal in the life of a believer, and really for anyone. So when it comes to truths about today, there are problems that arise during the day. Truths about today, today's a present. Truths about today, God created today by His power. Let me mention another one. There's the word presumption. Presumptions can be found today. We always think there will be a tomorrow today, don't we? Proverbs 27, verse 1, I give it to you, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. This has to do with uncertainty of tomorrow. And then, turn if you would to James chapter number 4. We know that tomorrow is uncertain, but James talks a little bit about the shortness of life. James 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And that's James chapter 4, verse 13 down through verse number 15. James is dealing with the shortness of life. He talks about the person who is making plans and setting things on the calendar. Verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Nothing wrong with making plans. I think a wise person will make plans and be good time managers. But verse 14 tells us about the shortness of life. Speaking to those people who are caught up in their plans, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Tomorrow may never get here. You may not make it to that city. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So what is James saying here? He's condensing us down to abiding in each and every God-given day. Make your plans, but those plans may never happen. If the Lord will, if God willing, we'll be here tonight to hear Brother Kevin preach. God willing. But the truth of the matter is, something may happen this afternoon. I may not be here. You may not be here. And hey, the Lord calls us home. Won't none of us be here. But if the Lord will, we will do this and that. And so the takeaway there is just talking about the shortness of life, in that we should take each day as God gives it. And if He so graciously allows us to have another day, then we'll do this or that. Let us be wise planners. Let us be good time managers. But also let us abide in each and every day being present. And so there's a presumption about tomorrow. We always think there will be a tomorrow today. Notice if you would, in verse number 14 again, he says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Look at that word life. There's an acrostic about the word life. You take the L and you can use the word lie for L. These are four ways people live their life in an acrostic. Some people live their lives a lie, pretending to be something they're not. They wear a mask. They're good actors, but on the inside, they're somebody totally different. They're deceivers. They're living a life of deception. And it may have happened or started happening that way accidentally. But some people live their life a lie. It's tough living. That would be a tough life to live, wouldn't it? To live a life of a lie. Knowing that you present yourself one way here and you're different there. And then you got to keep up with which lie you're telling, which life you're living. Make sure they don't cross paths for some reason. You're trying to impress people. I don't know. Some people live their life a lie. And then there's the I in the word life. Some people live their life according to the if factor. If this would never have happened, then things would be great. If they would have never gotten out of church, things would be swell. If they would have never left home and made those bad choices, they wouldn't have got messed up with all the wrong crowds out there in the world and died. If I would have done this better, then this wouldn't have happened. If a lot of people use up their little vapor called life, living according to the if factor. We cannot live our lives according to the if factor. We will all be in a straitjacket. If this, if that, if this. You need to be present today. You've got responsibilities today, obligations today. You can't be worried about if. We all have those kind of questions, don't we? I've got questions that come through my mind from time to time. Well, if I would have done this and not that, where would we be as a family? You know, if I would have done this different, then would I be the way I am now? Or would I be better? Or would I be worse? If. Lazarus was sick. Lazarus died. Jesus heard of the news and he abode still 2 days, knowing that Lazarus was sick and knowing that he would die. And when Jesus made it to the scene, Mary said, "Lord, if you would have been here, our brother would not have died." And so she had a moment of the if factor. And you got to understand her emotions. I mean, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. But we know the takeaway, an overall look at that story. Jesus said he did it this way for the glory of God, that God may be glorified. Lazarus come forth, and he came forth. And so there's the if factor. A lot of people. And then there's the F. L-I-F. And the F stands for faith. There's the faith factor. It's living by faith. It's accepting Jesus as your Savior then. And of course, going on and living by faith, and come what may, trust the Lord. We struggle. Sometimes we may even wrestle with our past and our past regrets. And sometimes we may even presume that there'll be a tomorrow to get things settled, get things right. But there's the F for faith. We wrestle. We war. We want Jesus to lead us and guide us. And trusting that everyone here is living your life according to the faith factor. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But guess what? You're not bellied up at a bar this morning waiting on the game to come on. You're sitting in a pew in church. So that tells me you have some faith. And that's the best way to live our life, is through the exercising of faith in the Lord Jesus. Then there's the word empty. The word empty. That stands for E. L is for lie. I is for if. F is for faith. E is for empty. Some people live their little life, this little vapor that's here one day and gone the next. They live it empty. They've given up. We won't get into all the details of the story, but we know that Naomi and Elimelech, under the leadership of the husband, Elimelech, went to Moab. Just to sojourn there. It wasn't supposed to be for a permanent time. But he went there because Bethlehem, there was a drought, there was a famine, there was no bread in Bethlehem. So they went to Moab. And we know that while they did not intend to stay there a long time, they were going to sojourn there to get resources. What happened? Well, while they were there, her husband died. While they were there, her two children died. And the daughter-in-laws were left. And we know that Naomi wanted to go back to Bethlehem. She heard that there was bread in Bethlehem. And so she was getting ready to go back to Bethlehem. And Ruth says, "Wherever you go, I go. You go to Bethlehem, I'm going to Bethlehem." And she cleaved to Naomi. And we know that when Naomi got back to Bethlehem, they said, "Naomi, Naomi, it's so good to see you, Naomi." She says, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For I am bitter in soul. The Lord hath brought me home empty." Empty. This morning, a lot of people live their lives empty. I said this morning, come to the well. Come to the well. Said all that to say this, that there's a presumption. There's a presumption. I would finish that empty and go a little ways further, but for the sake of time, we're moving on. There's the word presumption. A lot of people presume that tomorrow will be here. A lot of people live their lives according to the acrostic, a lie, if faith, or empty. Let me mention one more thing this morning, and we'll be through. Back in Psalm chapter 118, Psalm 118, verse 24, I see the fifth truth, and that is praise. Praise. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There should be praise today. Praise today. Notice what he says, we will. We will. Regardless of my circumstances, I'm going to rejoice today, Ceylon. And Ceylon, I know you, that regardless of your circumstances, you're choosing. Now, you could be in the mully grubs like anybody else. You could be in the mully grubs and just be quiet in person, but you have chosen to rejoice today. If we're waiting on good things to happen to rejoice, you may be waiting a while. Now, God's good and every good gift comes from Him, but sometimes it's just life. The day in and day out of the grinding of the days, and you just got to choose what kind of person you want to be. Do you want to be a happy person or do you want to be a miserable person? And I want to say that attitude is everything. You can smell attitude. Guess who's there today, Justin? Hold on. You ain't got to say it. You ain't got to say it. I can smell it. And attitude determines altitude. David said in another spot, I will look unto his holy temple. It's a choice. Let us not be people driven with emotions. And listen, this is something that God has been working out of my life for the past 20 years. Because I have been the kind of person who is extremely motivated when the emotions are there. And when they're absent, that has been my challenge, is to continue to be extremely motivated. And I'm proud to say that I'm different after 20 years. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. I'm not where I'm going to be, as the saying goes. But I'm different. God has challenged me, and I have accepted the challenge through the course of years. Whether the emotions are there and they meet me in the morning with a kiss, or whether I wake up in the morning and it's the darkness of night, I will go forward. It's a choice. I don't always succeed at it, but I know better. And if I fail, I fail knowing what to do. It's a choice. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it, in this day that God has made. One more verse and we'll be through. Philippians chapter 4. A little bit of Bible drill this morning. Philippians chapter number 4. One verse. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. He says rejoice twice. Double emphasis. And he does that because he is telling us the best thing for us is to rejoice. But Paul mentions in Philippians 4:4 the object of our rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord. Why does he say rejoice in the Lord? Why didn't it just say rejoice always and I say rejoice? Because emotions aren't always there to just rejoice. But if we rejoice in the Lord, the one who's unchangeable, if we focus our attention on the one who is always there, the one who has never failed us, the one who has never forsaken us and will not, the one who has heavenly plans for us, the one who is closer than any brother, the one who's our strong tower, and on we go. If we focus on Jesus, the unchanging one, then we can rejoice in each and every day because he is sure and steadfast and he will not change. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So there's that fifth truth, and that is praise. There should be praise today. And that's the truth about today, is that we should rejoice and go after it. Principal truth. Presumptions about today, problems about today. Today's a present, but then there's a power about today. God made today. And so this morning, truths about today. Father, we love you. We praise you this morning. I pray that you'd give liberty during the time of invitation. Maybe there's someone here that needs to grab a shovel and do some digging. Lord, maybe there's someone here that needs to be reminded of where their faults and failures are. That is, at the bottom of the ocean. Figuratively speaking, God, out of sight, out of mind. Or in whatever manner, Holy Spirit, you have spoke to hearts and challenged and encouraged. Do the same during the invitation is what I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And if you need to come this morning for whatever reason, no one's watching, but all are observing.
Have thine own way, have thine own way.
Anyone else this morning than the usual?
Thou art the power.
I thank God for these that come regularly. Invitation still open. If you need to come, please come. Everything today? Do you know if you died, heaven to be your home today? Facebook viewers, we're talking to you as well. Give it a few more moments. Else comes, we'll close out the service. Thankful for these who did come. Amen. 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 All right. We appreciate those who responded to the invitation, those that do faithfully every service. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And I hope everyone has a great afternoon this afternoon. And make sure to be back with us at 5 today, if you would. for light refreshments. And again, Brother Kevin will be speaking for us. And so looking forward to that and praying for him as well. 4 o'clock choir practice up here. So remember that. Get ready for our next Sunday, the 4th of July, the Sunday before 4th of July. So get ready for that. All right. I want to say thank you for our visitors for coming, and please come back and see us. So good having you with us. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. That's all we have. All right. Brother Jeff Hodges, would you close us out in a word of prayer?